I have your Central Coast forecast for today. We're going to have some rain after 10 a.m. and mostly cloudy with a high near 54 degrees. It will be windy out there, south-southeast wind, 9 to 12 miles per hour, and it will increase 34 and 37 miles per hour. Tonight, we will have periods of rain, especially if the storms come in. It could produce really heavy rainfall. The low will be around 48 degrees. And it will be real windy, 34 and 37 miles per hour, with gusts as high as 46. On Sunday, it will be mostly cloudy, and showers are likely with a possibility of a thunderstorm. And the winds will be around 30 miles per hour, gusts up to 45. Your Monterey Bay boaters forecast. There is a gale warning now in effect from 10 a.m. this morning through late tonight. And today, the southeast winds will be 15 to 25 knots, increasing to 25 and 35 knots by mid-morning. Combined seas, 8 to 12 feet, dominant period, 13 seconds. A slight chance of rain in the morning, then a chance of rain in the afternoon. And tonight, the south winds, 25 to 35 knots, with occasional gusts to 40 knots. Decreasing to 20 and 30 knots after midnight. Combined seas 10 to 14 feet, dominant period 13 seconds, and definitely rain. Your current temperature here at KSEO Studios, it is 49 degrees, and the time is 10:07 on this Saturday, February 23rd, 2008, and I am Nikki James at KSEO 1080, and now it's time for the Saturday special with MZ.
I don't understand the selective warnings in the weather report, Nikki.
The way it's worded?
No. What are these? Why are they selectively warning the gales out there? What about all the other people?
I don't know.
Gale warning, not cool at all. I don't understand it. That changes. Well, here you are, and here I am, and where's the clock on the wall? The clock on the wall's gone. Did you know the clock on the wall, did it fall off the wall? Or
it
did
must
someone
have
steal
broke.
It?
I have one. You want mine?
It'd be nice to see it. I feel like a nice security blanket here. All right, well, let's start the Saturday special, if I can remember how to do it.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Rain, go away. Wait a minute, that doesn't go with the music. Still my sentiments. I'm sick of this. I like sunshine. Don't you? Well, the nice thing about KSCO is that regardless of the weather, you can enjoy it at any time and place. Stay with us for the next 2 hours. You'll enjoy yourselves.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Are you one of those poor souls who is facing a steep, unaffordable rise in your mortgage interest rate one of these days soon? Well, listen up. KSCO has a new mortgage guru named John Cannon who is now on Happy Hour with Charlie and Dave each weekday at 4:40 p.m. John has a lot to say about everything, not just mortgages, and we want you to get to know him without delay. You know what that means, an appearance on the next KSCO special to talk about everything you want to know about lending, borrowing, and mortgages with some politics, humor, history, and predictions thrown in for good measure. So even if you couldn't care less about mortgages, you really should tune into the program because John Cannon is a very interesting character, to say the least. Plus, he thinks Kay is a real piece of work. This Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on How Can You Not Love Us Big Time Radio, AM 1080 KSCO. Special fanfare music that you've heard when we're going to have a special guest. We also have this crossfire music, which is probably going to be appropriate today. Just play them both.
correct or incorrect clock on the wall says 8 minutes after 10 a.m. Clearly that's wrong. Welcome to the Saturday special. And for those of you who have been listening for the last week, we have a brand new personality. Yeah, he's a mortgage guy. Yeah, there's a lot to say, as it says in the promo, about everything. So that makes him a personality. His name is John Cannon, and we expect him here momentarily, but due to a wrong turn, we're going to have to listen to him at least for the first half hour or so on the phone, but that shouldn't be too unlike what you're used to during the week. Hey, John, you there?
I would call it a series of wrong turns.
A series?
But I'm happy to report that I am now on the highway they call 17. And that can only be good.
Yeah. Well, no, it's 50%. Well, it could be bad if you happen to be going on 17 north. You want to be going on 17 south.
Okay. Well, I will report to you as soon as I know which direction I am. But I have a hunch that it's south.
Would you describe the surroundings?
Well, there's gray skies and rain, and there's green trees, and not much else to go on.
Are you in the mountains now?
No, I am still flat landing.
Oh,
and
something's weird with the monitor here. But can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine. Should I turn myself
no,
up
you're
or down?
Okay.
I'm all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyhow, how about now?
Well, I think that your ETA of the bottom of the hour is probably pretty accurate.
Uh huh. Okay. Hey, so should I tell the story about how you and I met, or do you want to tell it?
You might as well, because number one, you're going to sound better because you're there, and you might even remember it better.
Mm-hmm.
A long time ago.
Yeah. It was. I don't know. Probably 4 years ago, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think it's in that ballpark.
Yeah, I was driving around in the Bay Area listening to a Brand X radio station, talk radio yeah. station that
inferior,
had...
Inferior yeah. radio station. Yeah. Again, we would all agree.
And and I was listening to Michael Savage. A mortgage ad came on that you personally voiced, and it really impressed me. Why did it impress me? Well, I made a succinct, concise message in the advertiser's own voice, and that always impresses me because I believe that those are the kinds of ads that tend to get the best results for the advertiser. Who could be more passionate about what he or she does than the person who does it? Right? So, in any case, I didn't happen to need a mortgage then, but, you know, you never know. So I gave you a call and said, hey, my compliments to the chef. I heard your ad on Savage. And you said, that's impossible. I didn't advertise on Savage. I hate Savage, or I don't care for Savage. You remember that?
Yeah, oh, I do. I you know, really, I'm not that good on the uptake on the whole business part of this. You know, so I was throwing my views out there. But I really was confused because I had advertised on their big band station, and did not expect to. But I was.
It was a big band station. I thought you. Or are you ashamed to admit that you were advertising on Air ERR America?
Well, this was way before that.
It was.
I mean, it was. I was advertising on the signal that Air America is now on.
Uh huh.
But it was a big band. KABL were the calls, and you know Jim Lang and all those crusty old guys from the Bay Area were spinning the big band tunes, but it was part of the Clear Channel cluster. Can I say that on your radio station? Probably. I don't know if I just hate just saying those two words in a row, but it was part of their cluster, and their sales manager thought, well, let's throw John a bone. Let's put him on a station that people actually listen to, and you had really helped solve a mystery for me that night because I got like 7 phone calls, and I never got 7 phone calls. You know, when an ad would run, and, you know, you told me that it was running not on the station that I had actually purchased, but the other one. And
through a happy accident. Through a happy accident.
Yeah, and you actually did need a mortgage. You were in the throes of trying to figure out whether this it was an option arm that you were dealing with a bank that we won't mention but starts with a W and the next word starts with an M. And and you had a mortgage person that you were pretty far down the line with. And,
oh.
And so we did talk about things you should know and questions you should ask. And we just did a nice consultation.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're right. See, nothing gives me more pleasure than to take a lender, you know, these people are so, these lending institutions are so arrogant. They figure, you know, I've got the money and I can throw in some last minute little nasties and gotcha here. And the guy's going to, he's going to be mad, but he's going to take it because there's nothing else he's got to do, you
right.
know? So, yeah.
So, happens all the time.
You're right. I totally forgot about that. So you and I did actually talk about a mortgage that we didn't actually do. Is that right?
Right. That okay. is correct.
Uh-huh. Well, one of these days.
We stayed in touch, and I think the thing that you heard in the radio ad was that I had a background in radio. We talked about, once we discovered that common link, we really stopped talking about mortgages and started talking about radio.
Yeah, and politics and stuff. And you're one of the few people who took me to lunch. You invited me to lunch, which was very, very...
You came all the way to Walnut Creek, which I thought was very big of you. So,
oh, okay.
So it was the least I could do. I never let it be
said. I like to be invited to lunch so badly that I might drive across the country if someone will take me to lunch, if it's a nice enough place. Anyhow, we'll see.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so here you are, and you're actually... lots happened since then. I mean, anybody who was in the mortgage company, you know, sort of became rich or flush with money and so forth. Now, whether they, you know, saved it or invested it properly
is not first work in radio. The problem is if you worked in radio first and then went in the mortgage business, what you were able to do was dig yourself out of radio debt. Because, you know, radio debt is really significant. And for people out there, you know, when you work for a radio station, they don't really need to pay you in money because they want to pay you in glamour and excitement.
and a lot of times they can't. Now Clear Channel can because they're huge. But,
well, right, but
I'm surprised
really,
to hear.
I mean,
but I'm surprised to hear that even they don't. Now we can't.
Well, I was in sales at Clear Channel. I was on the air for a number of stations like yours. In Arizona,
yeah,
independently owned stations and then small groups, but they were locally owned. I did not work for a major radio corporation, and I was working in sports radio where they not only have glamour and excitement, but tickets to games. So
we have that too on with our Comey station because we carry the Sharks on Comey.
Oh, see, there you go.
Yeah, so we got tickets too, and yeah, but
yeah. So if you walk into the GM's office and you say, you know, I'd really like a raise for this 4-hour talk show that
I'm doing.
Give
you another ticket or something, right?
Yeah, or he says, you know what, I got a guy right behind you sitting in a chair in the corner who would love to do your show, and all he wants is a ticket. And so you say, well, thank you very much. Can I have another hour? You know, because I'd really like to do an extra hour just to show you how grateful I am to have the 4 that you already gave me. And so several years of that combined with trying to live a life, you can dig yourself into some pretty significant debt. So that's what the first couple of years of the mortgage career was able to get me out of.
And it's absolutely true that people do radio. Now, there are some exceptions, you know, for very big, very successful urban stations, you know, urban area stations, not urban format stations.
And only in morning drive, even in those.
Yeah,
stations.
Do people, if with a few exceptions, people who do radio, and I'm talking about, you know, pilot in command, board op type people, right on up to the ownership. People do radio for the love of it, not for the money, because there isn't a whole lot of money in it.
Right. And there's, less and less love, especially at those big stations.
Yeah.
It's a grind.
Well, there's none of that being lost here because I announced that I wanted to get out of the ownership end of the business here on the 60th anniversary of the station going on the air last September 24th to the shock of many people. And there have been so many calls and emails and even some snail mails from people saying, "Hey, God, don't do that. I mean, if you sell the station, then it won't be the same." Well, what I'm trying to do is engineer a sale of the station to someone who wants to run it just this way, And there are those who say, well, that means you really don't want to sell the station because there's nobody out there who would buy a station and run it the same way you do.
And I think at some point, and here we are, 5 months from that date, at some point you're going to have to maybe agree that those people are right.
Well, in the meantime, suddenly there are a lot more ads on the radio station. And, of course, we've always had advertisers who have been with us forever and wouldn't think of not being with us because, not because they like us, but because it works for their business. The whole idea of advertising is to grow your business if you're a business, you know? And
yep.
If you want to advertise, if you're not a business, then you can advertise someone else's business, I guess, if you're they're a friend of yours or whatever. Anyhow, things are definitely looking up at KSCO. The place is still for sale. I would like to sell it to somebody who thinks like we do, and we'll keep it a community-based talk radio station where people can discuss issues. And if it happens, great. And I don't know. We'll see. In the meantime, there are a lot more ads, and so that's good. And here you are doing a mortgage report that is more than a mortgage report with Charlie and Dave every day, huh?
It is, and I'm having a ball.
I knew you would. Didn't I tell you?
Yeah,
I tell you that and with the first week, I mean, we tell people don't expect any great fabulous results, you know, the day after or the week after you start. But I understand you've had some results already.
I got a phone call on the second day, and a prospect who he's got a good situation where I can help him. So
right.
Happy about that. We do get a lot of calls these days, MC, from people that we just can't help, and the biggest thing about that is you know value of the property. That's why I'm excited to be on in Santa Cruz, which is one of the areas of the Bay Area that is holding its value the best.
Yeah.
Because when, you know, we advertise, my company up in the Bay Area advertises in, you know, on one of the big news talkers up there, and we get calls from Fairfield and Vacaville, and, you know, I would love to help those people, but, you know, there's just no way. They bought a house.
So you would say the price is
$600,000, uh-huh. And it's, you know, their loan is $700,000, and there's just, you know, they just have to dig in and hope for the best.
Oh boy!
Yeah.
Now,
bad.
So the farther away you get from the metropolitan coastal areas, tell me if this is a correct statement in your opinion. The farther away you get from a metropolitan coastal area, the more the real estate prices have dropped in the last year or two. Am I right?
Yes, I think that is absolutely correct, and there are a lot of reasons. And one of the things that my company does now, which is one of the reasons I'm at a different place that I was. I'm at North Point Financial now, where I was at a different company when you first called me, is we help people invest in real estate out of state. And because of that, I've learned a lot about real estate and what makes values hold or go up as opposed to go down. Because when we're looking for markets to invest in, we're looking for a few very important things. And if they're not present, we're not players.
Okay, John, tell me, does your company lend its own money? Where does the pot of money come from? So your correspondents,
brokers.
Like, you know, you,
right.
you're
brokers.
Still...
We work with a number of different lenders. Most of them now are banks because the mortgage companies all pretty much went out of business last summer. The only ones left are banks that have their own deposits to lend. Mortgage companies were lending, and then they would turn around and sell those loans to investors, take the money they got from that, turn around and lend it again. That's how they were making the money. And they would make a couple of points on each of those transactions. That
right.
Adds up pretty quickly. And without anyone to sell those loans to, which is what happened back in the summer, they went out of business very quickly. So we are really dealing mostly with banks, the big ones, Wells Fargo and WaMu and HSBC. There's a couple more that we do a lot of work with. And we have a couple of mortgage companies. Investors are edging their way back in to the mortgage market. But right now, it's mostly banks. So,
if this is too personal a question, tell me to pass and move on. Okay. But is it, have they changed the compensation, you know, to the people who make the, who bring in the loans, you know, in the last couple? Because it seems to me, I know some people who are just plain ordinary people, not, you know, not radio savvy people like yourself, who were making, you know, over $1 million a year, you know.
And just
working for WAMU, just doing loans for WAMU. Can you believe that? Their commission was over $1 million a year. I know some such people.
Yeah, the people who worked at the banks and really had the high-end clientele, all of the revenue in mortgage land is commission-based. So obviously the larger loans you're doing, the more there is in commission to be made.
Yeah.
And when I got into the business in 02 and 03, there was so much business because rates were down. Everybody wanted a new loan. You really could pick and choose almost the loans you wanted to do.
Right.
And you know, I have to admit that I got to the point where, you know, if an ad would run and the phone would ring, I looked down and it had a 209 area code, I wouldn't pick it up.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I was a snob,
but I was also a businessman.
And
time is money. It's the only resource I have is my time.
Yeah.
And
so Area 209 is Fresno or, you know, Central Valley.
Right.
San Joaquin Valley and so forth. And that's another way of saying
650 or 408. You know,
yeah, you do the same amount of work for a $1 million loan that you do for a $200,000 loan, right?
Well, actually, Michael, it's worse than that. You know, one of the realities that I've learned is that the people sometimes with the lower loan amounts they're harder to work with because they don't.
Yeah.
The people who have working with someone that has $1 million loan on $1.5 million house. They've gotten a number of loans. They've done a number. They've been through the whole process a bunch of times.
Sure. No, you're right, John. And in fact, I shouldn't have said that. That was an ignorant thing for me to say because I have my own personal experience in that regard. I was never a mortgage broker, but I was a pretty active real estate broker for a dozen years or so.
Yeah.
And I'm even more snobbish than you probably are or were. I didn't want to work with first time home buyers because I know this is going to sound real insensitive now. They were like scared rabbits. I mean, you know, they wouldn't do anything. They wouldn't make a move without having, you know, second thoughts or buyer's remorse or whatever. Oh, Jesus.
My cousin told me this isn't a good house to buy.
Yeah.
You know, you get everything lined up and then they talk to their cousin and it changes everything.
Yeah.
So I've been through that. That was also when I was, you know, newer in the business and, oh, you had that happen to you?
Okay. No. It's just so funny.
Yeah.
I could see the picture really quickly.
Right.
And so I pretty much limited my real estate practice to working with investors who were people way smarter and way more experienced than me. And it was so cool because I got paid commission. I got paid for going to school effectively.
Yeah.
You know, it should have been the other way around. I should have been paying them, the people I was learning from, you know.
Yeah.
But it was just fantastic.
Yeah.
So, you know, most of the deals that I did were 1031 exchanges and, you know, some really complicated ones sometime that I feel really proud of myself for having done. And in fact, this particular, the purchase of KSCO 17 plus years ago was for me a 1031 real estate exchange.
Ah, how about that?
And if it hadn't included the real estate, I never could have afforded to have purchased this radio station because I was able to buy it with, you know, what I call funny money, you know,
money
that had never been taxed, money that had never, you know, preserved the equity. There was huge profit in there and a piece of land that I had bought and sold for a lot more money. And the numbers worked perfectly. And it came with the radio station that I always wanted to own since I was a kid first getting kicked off for the first time for making a fart noise back in January of 67. On the high school radio show. Anyhow,
how do we get there?
I don't know.
But in answer to your earlier question, the type of competition has not changed, but obviously the level for everybody in the business.
Yeah, because where people were making $1 million, you know, and these are people sitting behind a desk in a cubicle. Now, I'm sure that's all they were doing probably. I mean, they were eating, breathing, sleeping, and so forth.
Right.
But heck, you know, for $1 million a year, you know, that's worth doing for a year or two or three, you know?
Yeah, so. Right. You found a way. And what has happened is that realtors and mortgage brokers really believed that was just going to always be the way it was. And they did not live, most of them, if I want to generalize, but most of them did not live with the idea that it could turn around on them. And when it turned around, you know, there was very little warning. for all of us. So I feel very fortunate that I work for a company that specializes in investing out of state, because that's the part of the business that really has been consistent for us, while the California piece has, you know, gone down in terms of volume because a lot of people just aren't, you know, weren't getting loans until rates really got much better a couple of months ago, and so it has freed up a bit. But during the summer, when the lending crisis was at its peak, it was the out-of-state stuff that really kept us going. So I'm very fortunate.
Wow. Okay, well, tell us how things are going right now. Has money opened up? It was locked up tight there for a while.
It has. There are more lenders that are willing to lend, and the big thing right now that we're all waiting to see how it comes down is the economic stimulus package that was passed by the Senate and the House, and George Bush signed it, and so now we are in a situation where the Housing and Urban Development Department is determining what the new conforming loan limit will be, and the conforming loan limit dictates that loans under that limit are backed by Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, they're insured, essentially, so that lenders feel better about lending that money.
Oh, okay.
And investors feel better about buying those loans from lenders, because if the loans go bad, then they're insured, basically, by
sure.
the government.
Okay, now what are the current Freddie Mae, Fannie Mac conforming loan limits right now?
417 is the limit, and
okay.
it's a nationwide limit except for Hawaii and some other places have higher ones. But it is, for the most part, national, and it's at 417.
Okay.
And this is the first year, 2008, is the first year that, in my experience, which is, I've only been in the business since 2002, but that it did not go up. I mean, when I first started, I think the conforming loan limit was it was 300,000, and then it went to 322, and then it went to 350-something, and then 400, and then 417, and now it stayed at 417, and there were people who wanted to lower it.
Uh-huh.
But it's based on the median house price for the country. And so the median house price obviously did not go up in 07, and in 08 it could go down. In fact, it almost certainly will go down. But they are now, they passed this economic stimulus package, which is allowing a temporary rise in that amount to help people, because what really happened, MC, in the summer when the loan price hit, is the jumbo loan, which are loans above that conforming loan limit and
yeah.
are not guaranteed by the government, lenders lost interest in those loans almost completely.
Wow.
I mean, you could be a very good borrower with good credit and everything else, and it was, and the rate on jumbo loans were very unattractive, to the point where a refi was just, you know, no one would ever refi. If you had a loan 2 years ago, there's no way you would refi this summer, unless you just were desperate for cash out, or some other, you know, thing was triggering it. But from
right.
a rate standpoint, rates
right.
were much higher. So this will allow lenders to have rates on loans in the 500, 600, 700,000 range that are significantly lower than the jumbo rates are right now.
Right.
And an opportunity for people to refinance.
What are the jumbo rates right now, if you can get a jumbo?
Well, a jumbo 30-year fixed is around 7.25.
Whoa!
You know, could be even a little bit higher right now. I haven't looked for a few days.
Do they still have the 5-year fixed, and then they turn
yeah.
adjustable for a lower initial rate?
Yes, the 5-year fixed rate would be more like in the 6 range. And I, you know, the thing, one of the things I want to talk about today with rates, and I want to get people prepared to call a mortgage broker, whether it's me or somebody else.
No, you want it to be you.
Don't be coy.
You want it to be you.
But I don't want to be arrogant about it. They may know someone. They may have someone down
oh,
the
I see.
Street or in their family. So, you know, but you need to be prepared for the mortgage broker to ask you a whole bunch of questions. And one of the things you don't want to do is just call up and say, what's the rate? Because the rate depends on so many factors that until a broker has asked you, you know, really 5 or 10 questions.
It's like calling a department store on the phone and asking how much is a red dress.
It's very similar to that, yes. And so, you know, people sometimes get frustrated because I want to, you know, they think I am being coy because I haven't set a rate yet. And I just say, look, I need to know what kind of,
yeah.
of work you do. I don't even need to know your job. But are you self-employed or are you salaried? And what, you know, do you have an idea what your credit score is and what's your loan amount? What, you know, what do you think the value of the house is? Which, by the way, there are a lot of people, and again, I don't think Santa Cruz is as affected by this as a lot of places in the Bay Area, but there are a lot of people who have no idea how much their house has dropped in value. And I had a woman call from Fairfield, and she was in a gated community, and her house had been appraised 2 years ago for $1.5 million or something, and she had $1.2 million in loans, and she wanted to refinance. And I said, I don't know for sure. Now, I'm coming up on Highway 1, Mike, north or south? What do I do?
You want to Watsonville, Monterey.
Good.
Yeah.
So I said, tell me, are there homes for sale in your area at all? And she said, oh, yes, lots of. I said, okay, have they been for sale for a while? Yes. I said, well, you know, I don't think that 1.5 is going to hold. If you've got homes for sale and they've been for sale for a while, then you've had a significant decline.
So did she sign up with you, and
I can't help her.
You wouldn't even try because you knew that she would be disappointed, is what you're saying.
Well, was a
new appraisal made, is what I'm asking, I guess.
No, we didn't even bother to get a new appraisal, because at $1.2 million, you have to have significant equity. You've got to be at 75% or so to get a decent, shot at a loan. And the other thing was, she had two great loans. When she got her loans 2 years ago, one was in the fours.
Yeah.
The first loan, and the second loan was also very good and fixed. And I just said, even if I did a new loan for you, it would not approach what you have now. So,
well, why did she even want it then? It must have a short fuse. It's
going to adjust, in a couple of years, but not soon enough that. So again, we got a layered problem. I probably can't do a loan because the value is not there.
Yeah.
If I could do one, it would not be as good as what she has, and it would raise her payments, which she was actually calling to try to get a lower payment.
Yeah.
And I said, there's no lower payment than what you have other than the neg am loans, which is how we got to this mess.
Uh-huh.
But it's people doing the negative amortization loans with very low equity in their properties.
Awful.
And that,
people
are tempted to
do that because they say, oh, my payment's going to be low. Wow.
Right, right. So I said, let's not go there. And so that just is an example of what people are looking for out there. But there are still a lot of scenarios where people can be helped right now. And when I get to the station very soon, because I'm actually now coming up on SoCal, we can take some phone calls from people who have scenarios that they'd like to chat about. But just be prepared for me to ask you 10 questions or something like that, because until I really have a good basis of what your situation is, the solutions do not come into
focus. Do you think people are going to want to do that? Do you think they're going to want to have that? And do you think that maybe they will. You're going to ask them very personal questions.
Well, yeah, but they're talking to them. I don't know really who they are. I mean, when they call me at my office off of a radio ad or something, then they answer all these personal questions. And I know, they also tell me their name.
Right.
This, you could call and say, Fido in Aptos or something. You don't have to give your real name and your real situation.
Right. Okay.
I would be happy to help. So I am I'm going to turn left here on SoCal. And
No. Keep going.
Oh, okay. That's what the Google Maps thing said. What am I doing?
Hey, you've had an experience with them already, right?
Well, I can't blame them.
Yeah.
I missed that 17. It was on the map.
It was pilot error, huh?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Well, I've already gotten off at the SoCal 17 thing, so...
Okay.
I should go to a break and then come on the phone and tell me how to get there.
No. Okay. I think the audience would be. Find it fascinating to have you be guided into the station right now.
In case you're wondering, folks at home, this is what happens when you own the station.
Uh-huh.
You can do this. You can. If someone else does this, the owner of the station calls and says, "Would you go to a break?" So people don't have to listen to this.
Yeah, I can't be fired, at least now.
No.
After I sold the station, if the new owner will have me, then I can be fired. I'm going to try to write that into the deals, that I don't have to own the place, that I don't have to, I can't be fired even though I don't own the place any longer.
You still get that spot?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, and so we're going to try that. Anyhow, so John, describe where you are. You're at the SoCal.
I just turned right on 17th Avenue.
Oh, good. Well, you did the right thing then.
Well,
you did the right thing. Okay. Okay, you turned right on 17th Avenue. Okay,
yeah.
Good. All right. I misunderstood. I thought you were going to say SoCal. Yeah. Okay. Good.
Okay. And then when I come up on Portola, I turn left.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And then within less than a minute, you'll see us on the right, and you can drive right in. Now, don't take the first driveway because severe tire damage.
Oh. Okay.
Take the second one. Okay. That you don't suffer severe tire damage.
Yeah.
Okay. You're listening to the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz Salinas Monterey San Jose, your favorite radio station. It's MZ with John Cannon, who is a regular segment guest here on Happy Hour with Charlie and Dave weekdays. I think you're on at 4:40 in the afternoons.
Or thereabouts.
Yeah, and you're Mr. Mortgage Guru here, you have a radio background, and you've got an opinion on everything, and we'll probably get into some of that here, because my plan for you to be very successful as a KSCO advertising family member is for people to get to know you. And what better way for people to get to know you than to be able to converse with you on topics other than mortgages. So we'll do a little bit of that today too, John, if that's okay with you. And
I'm game for anything.
Yeah. Okay. And you're pretty much in the home stretch here. So Nikki, I think it's time to do our commercial break here, our first commercial break, and we will come back in just a few minutes here. So stay with us, Monterey Bay, Silicon Valley, world. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Now you can get rid of the hazardous materials in your home, and it won't cost you a thing. Hello, I'm Patrick Matthews with Santa Cruz County Public Works with an answer for what to do with all those hazardous materials in your home. Bring them to us. That's right. If you live in the unincorporated areas of Santa Cruz County, the cities of Scotts Valley, Santa Cruz, or Capitola, we will take your hazardous wastes for free. Bring us your paints, solvents, pesticides, flammable liquids, fuels, outdated medicines, pool and photographic chemicals. But don't bring us compressed gas cylinders, explosives, infectious, or radioactive wastes. You can also pick up free recycled paint and other household products from our Second Chance store when you visit. For the hours of household hazardous waste facilities at the Buena Vista Landfill, Ben Lomond Transfer Station, and City of Santa Cruz Resource Recovery Center, visit SantaCruzCountyRecycles.org. That's SantaCruzCountyRecycles.org or call 454-2606. That's 454-2606. Remember, Santa Cruz County Recycles.
For several months now, you've heard the commercials for Santa Cruz Tile and Stone here on KSCO. Now you can go to the KSCO.com website and click on the yellow box and see their fabulous showroom and their great products and services. If you're thinking about a remodel or new kitchen, entryway, or bathroom, then you need to visit Santa Cruz Tile and Stone, located at 1800 Soquel Avenue, number 2 in Santa Cruz. You'll find full and prefabricated slabs in granite, marble, limestone, and travertine at great prices. And you'll also find Santa Cruz Tile and Stone, Phoenix Spas, and Gazebos at the lowest prices in Santa Cruz County. And remember, Phoenix Spas and Gazebos are the only ones built in Northern California. Santa Cruz Tile and Stone is open Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Let the expert staff at Santa Cruz Tile and Stone work with you to design your remodel or your new construction project. Santa Cruz Tile and Stone, located at 1800 Soquel Avenue, unit number 2 in Santa Cruz. Phone 421-0292 or visit them by going to KSCO.com and click on the yellow box. Santa Cruz Tile and Stone.
When you need someone you can trust for great service, go to ReferralSantaCruz.com. Hi, I'm Robbie Myers from ReferralSantaCruz.com. We screen service businesses for quality, reliability, and trustworthiness. We check them out head to toe for you. Take the worry out of who is going to show up at your home. From contractors to accountants, ReferralSantaCruz.com screens them all. When your stomach's feeling nervous because you're looking for a service, ReferralSantaCruz.com, ReferralSantaCruz.com.
Okay, I guess that's our cue here. We're back at 10:45. I think it's correct. No, it's 10:44, somewhere, plus or minus, on your favorite radio station, AM 1080. KSCO, it's MZ and John Cannon with you talking mortgages, and we're going to get into some other things. We might get into a little politics and so forth next hour, but if you want to give us a call, if you got a have a question for John, standard number applies, 479-1080. The standard email address applies, mz@ksco.com. And, yeah, I'd like to hear from you. And So we'll take it from there. Now, John is in the home stretch. He is in the home stretch, so we shouldn't have to have him on the phone much longer. Correct, John? Are we?
Yes, cruising. I look at the 2300, and you're on the right hand side.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Okay.
We're on the right hand side. Do you see us? Do you
see
our building?
I see the big van.
Yeah.
It's a very fancy van.
Okay, and I see you turning into the parking lot now. Isn't this exciting radio, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah.
I mean, it's really happening.
Glamour.
It's really, really happening. This is play-by-play radio. All right, yeah, John is a mortgage.
I'm going to hang up and then come in and walk in.
No. Just let's see how good your service is. Just stay connected and see if we lose it, you know, when you come into the station. Okay? Yeah,
okay.
So we're talking mortgages. 479-1080 if you want to chip into the conversation. Great opportunity for you to ask a question here. And if we don't get any calls, what does that tell us? That tells us that no one even wants to borrow money or no one cares who listens to the Saturday special about mortgages? I suppose we'll find out. I suppose we'll find out. In any case, you're listening to the Saturday special. We're going to be
wrong. Is the door wide open all the time, or is this just for me?
Just for you. Just for you. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, here we go. I'm not sure I'd recognize you, John, because I haven't seen you. That's you. Sort of remember you. Yeah. Here, pull up a chair.
What a fine selection of chairs we have, too.
Uh huh. Yeah. So he just walked into our studio. And, yeah, see, that's Dave out there. You work with Dave. That's half of Charlie. Now, Charlie isn't here because Charlie's not here
right.
on the weekend. But Dave is here on the weekend, you know, for today anyhow, right?
Right.
Okay. Let me turn on your mic here. And you can.
I'll put on headphones in case there's a call.
Yeah. Okay. Welcome to KSCO, John.
Thank you. Do I sound different in the microphone as opposed to on the phone? I hope so.
Well, you should turn off the phone so it stops echoing.
Is that the problem?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Okay, now your cell phone is gone, and you were the only caller.
Oh, now it's just you and me.
Yeah,
I was. We had a caller the whole first 45 minutes. Of course, it was me.
Anyhow, so if I want, it's going to be easier for. Do you think it's going to be easier for me to get a jumbo loan because I'm going to need one here pretty quick? I think unless I sell this particular property,
it will be easier for anyone to get a jumbo loan if the loan amount that they're looking for is under $729,900, which that will be the new cap.
Is that pretty sure?
Yes, it is certain. I think that is going to be the cap.
Yeah.
And the only question is what areas will get that new number. And it is based on the median home prices, you know, in a given area. And when I looked up the Santa Cruz, Monterey area.
It should be higher for us. Might it be?
It won't be higher than that. That's the cap.
That's for sure. Okay.
But I'm reasonably certain that you guys will get the highest number down here.
So what does that mean if a person needs more or wants more?
Well, that means there's
wants $1 million.
There's still a jumbo. That means that there's still a jumbo. And
our jumbos, do you think jumbos are going to be easier to get than they have been for the last year?
Well, it will depend. It will be interesting to see if the rising tide lifts all boats. I don't know that it will. I think that but if it allows more people to lend more money comfortably because they have a backing from the government and they've got investors that are willing to take loans off their hands. See, Mike, there are lenders right now that have been doing loans since last July that have not been able to sell those loans. You might have noticed if you don't have a life and you read the actual bill that passed, it is dated back to July of last year. And people would say, well, why is that? Well, that's because lenders have loans on their books that they haven't been able to move. And so they have not gotten the revenue from those loans. They're servicing those loans. They're getting the interest from them, but that's not what these guys are in the business for the most part.
Yeah.
So being able to get all those loans off their books and sell them to investors because now they're backed by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, I do think that will free up some money for them to do more jumbo loans. So I would think it's going to be good for pretty much everybody.
Okay. And currently, what is the difference in rate between a conforming loan and a jumbo loan?
It's about a point and a half. I mean, it's, you know, on a 30-year, it's significant. On a 5-year, it's less.
Uh-huh.
But on a 30-year fixed, it's a big number.
Less than a point.
Yeah, probably about a point or maybe three quarters.
Right. And what about no points loans? Are they gone? Or they never really were there anyhow, right?
I mean, no, they've always been there, and that's another thing that will.
I mean, when I say never were really there, I mean they were certainly promoted. It was just sort of marketing. Right. I mean they didn't.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a minute.
Yeah,
let's help people understand what a no when you hear about loans and you hear about loan costs. And right now, these are too loud. So I'm going to just talk like this. I don't know. Where I couldn't find the gain for this headphone. Oh, is that up there? Yeah. Okay. All right, that's better. So there are three ways that loans can be paid for. And there are loan fees on every loan. The title company gets paid. You might have noticed if you've ever been to a title office that, you know, it's nice.
Yeah.
They're not working with chairs like these.
Yeah.
They've got nice furniture. Don't be offended.
What a dig. They're comfortable chairs.
I think I see
they're
two.
They're way more comfortable than the fancy chairs that you're talking about at these lending institutions.
Right. And I think two of them actually match, but I'm not sure about the other six. So anyway, they make money. They make money on every transaction. And you talk about an industry that's been just whacked by this whole thing because fewer people are doing loans. The title industry has really taken a hit. But the appraiser's got to get paid. The lender is going to get paid their processing and underwriting fees. So there are fees on every loan. They can either be paid by the borrower when you get the loan. So you get a new loan. The loan is for $350,000. The fees add up to $3,500 or so. And you write a check in closing for $3,500 and you pay your fees. That's the cheapest way to pay for a loan. Another way is to roll those fees into the new loan amount.
Yeah.
So you get a loan for a little bit more than you owe currently.
Yeah.
And you don't have to come out of pocket, but you are financing now the $3,500 at whatever your new rate is, six or seven or whatever it is. And if you have the loan for a long time, you're going to pay a lot more than $3,500 for that loan.
Right.
Now, sometimes people don't have the choice. They don't have the money. They need to roll it in. They're not worried about it. And again, when houses are increasing in value, there was a great line by Warren Buffett that when the tide goes out, you can see who's wearing bathing suits and who's not.
Yeah.
And home values are really the same thing. When home values are going up, you know, you can get away with a lot. When they're going down, all of a sudden, it's a different animal. And people are much more concerned about their loan amount. When values either are frozen or they're starting to go down, when values are going up, they're throw it on the loan. I don't care. So now the other way that loan charges can be paid for is by me. Okay? And the way I do that is I charge you a higher rate, and therefore I get a higher commission from the lender. Because remember, I'm the broker. I'm not the lender. So the lender will give me a higher commission if I charge you a higher rate.
Uh-huh.
And maybe I stick a 3-year prepayment penalty on the loan.
Oh.
And then they love that. They'll pay me a lot to do that. And a lot of the problems that people got into was because they not only got a bad loan, but they also got a 3-year prepayment penalty on that loan. And the only thing that changed between a 1-year prepay and a 3-year prepay is the broker got paid a lot more on the 3-year prepay.
Uh-huh.
So if you are in a loan and you had a 3-year prepay, don't ever use that person again, probably.
Uh-huh.
So now, I will take the money, the extra money I'm getting from the lender, and I'll pay your fees. So it doesn't go onto your loan balance, and you don't pay it out of pocket. But you are paying it in the form of a higher rate. And again, if you're going to have the loan...
It seems to me that a mortgage company or a mortgage correspondent company or a mortgage broker company can just really clean up if they just say, hey, you know, well, I'll do that, and I'll really pay for it without charging more. I realize, you know, people don't want to dig into their own pockets, but boy, I mean,
look at
Walmart, you know, look at all these successful companies like Costco.
Right. Well, look at Elon.
Companies that offer the same goods and services for less money.
Right.
They tend to make it up in volume.
And here's the problem, though.
Right.
That the ones that do that, and Elon certainly works that way. Ditech works that way. The big national. You see their rates. I see their rates, and I'm like, how can they do that?
Yeah.
They're making a little tiny bit of money, and they're planning to just do so many loans that they're going to make their nut that way.
Right.
The problem is, this is not a head of lettuce or a box of cereal. This is a home loan. You need consultation on a home loan, and you're not going to get it from those guys. That's the problem. You can you can get into this business and you can do loans really cheaply, but you can't do them really cheaply and really well and take the time to really explore with the client. Because, MZ, if you're going to be in a loan for maybe a year, you think, okay, I'm not sure what I'm going to do with this property. I want a new loan because I need $100,000 cash out. My kid's going to college or whatever. But I'm not sure I'm really in this place long term. Well, then it's not a bad thing to get a loan where the broker pays the loan fees. You take a higher interest rate, quarter point, 3/8 of a point higher, which if you only have the loan for a year or two, that's not going to change your life.
Yeah.
And you don't pay the fees on the loan. And the other thing that allows you to do is if you're in a rate dropping environment, which we're in right now.
Rate dropping or value
rates are
dropping.
Going down. Okay. Rates are going down. I think they're going to continue to go in that direction. If you didn't pay your loan fees on your current loan, it's a lot easier to pull the ripcord and refi in 6 months or 9 months to get a lower rate. Because you didn't, if you paid $3,000 to get your current loan, you're going to really need it to be a lot better before you're going to refinance and get a new loan, because that three grand is just gone.
Right.
So if you feel that rates are going down, you want to get a loan now. And I have a lot of clients that are in situations like this right now. They have a higher rate than there is right now, so I can help them right now. But what I want to do is try to make it so it costs them as little as it can, so that they can, if rates continue to go down in 6 months, they could refi again and improve their situation better. And that's the time when you refi a second time, pay your fees, pay your costs, do whatever to get the absolute lowest rate that you're going to get, because that's the one you're going to keep for long term.
Yeah. Okay. You're talking, you're listening to John Cannon and MZ on the Saturday special on KSCO, your favorite radio station. We're at AM 1080 on your dial. And if you want to call, be part of the program, 479-1080 in area 831 is the number to call. Let's go to our first phone call now. That's Natalie in Corralitos has a question for John about the process of getting a mortgage loan. Natalie is still on. Yeah, here's. Oh. Hello?
Natalie just vanished from the board.
Yeah, Natalie vanished from the board. So
Perhaps I answered her question already.
Okay, maybe that's it. Yeah, it was all written up. Anyhow, so a lot of people have been calling and then hanging up.
Well,
we had half a dozen phone calls already.
Those are probably my friends.
Oh.
Just calling to torment you and me.
Right. Okay. Well, in any case, so you think rates are going to be going down?
Yeah.
Now, I have a loan that these are both 5-year fixed loans that are one's going to adjust in a year, and one's going to adjust in 2 months. And the 2-month adjusting one is at 4.85%.
Right.
That's a jumbo loan.
Okay.
I thought that was a pretty good rate.
It was a great rate.
And then I got one for 4.25. I got a year left on that. You know.
That's even better.
Yeah. So you think we're going to get even close to those rates on?
You know, I don't think that we're going to get in that ballpark on jumbo loans.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to get under 5 on jumbo loans. Unless you pay, you can always pay more. That's one thing I didn't mention in my little cost scenario.
To buy
is
down.
You can always buy it down, but only do that if you're really certain that you're going to be in that loan and that property for a long time.
Right. Okay. All righty. Here's Natalie in Corralitos. Let's go ahead. Natalie, did you decide to call back or did someone cut you off accidentally?
You know what? I was on the phone and you were talking like I wasn't there. Can you hear me okay now?
Yeah, I hear you fine. Yeah.
Okay. I would never hang up on you.
Good. Thank God. Well, we're going to hang up on you in less than 2 minutes because...
Okay,
no, we'll hold you over, okay, because we have to go to the news. But go ahead. Go ahead and ask your... You got about a minute. Go ahead.
This gives me a few minutes during the news to actually go research your question because I really don't know anything.
Okay. Well, my question is this. In this type of a market, how do you go about valuing a property, especially if it's, out of state? How do you find value? Do you go on Zillow.com or... And I would suspect that when somebody comes to you to... want to do business, they have some sense of the the value of their home at this point. Is that correct?
Well, you would hope, Natalie, but you'd be surprised how many people, as a story I told Michael about 15 minutes ago, that people sometimes are pretty oblivious to what's going on. Zillow is a good ballpark.
Yeah. Listen, we got to hold this over till after the news and Kay's commentary. It's KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey. It is 11 a.m.
Fox News Radio, I'm Chris Stanley. The fight over FISA, front and center once again on the president's plate.
The Protect America Act expired last Saturday. Now the president is putting pressure on Congress to renew it permanently and to make it so the phone companies can't be sued for having helped the government get warrantless wiretaps in the past. President Bush spoke about it in his radio address today, saying when Congress comes back Monday, they have a choice, helping lawyers sue the telecom companies for billions or helping intelligence officials protect millions of lives. Democrats, meanwhile, accuse the president of fear-mongering and point out the old surveillance laws are still in effect. In Washington, Caroline Shively, Fox News Radio.
More delegates for John McCain. You decide. 2008, John McCain picks up the 9 delegates from the Marianas Islands, one of the 3 Pacific Ocean Island U.S. territories. American Samoa and Guam are the others, and they can choose their 9 GOP delegates later today. But there is one catch. The territories send delegates to the political conventions, but residents can't vote in the general election. Meanwhile, the Democrats are swarming Ohio, the site of a major primary, a week from Tuesday. No love lost between John McCain and Fidel Castro, who took the world by surprise this week by abruptly letting it be known he was resigning as the president of Cuba. McCain saying nobody should be looking for any major changes in Cuba, though, until Castro dies, adding, I hope he has the opportunity to meet Karl Marx very soon. Speaking of Guam, that's where the U.S. has lost one of its $1.2 billion B-2 bombers. It crashed after taking off from the island after a 4-month deployment. Both pilots were able to safely eject, but why the huge, sophisticated plane went down is a mystery for the moment. It was the first heavier crash of a B-2. And the heavy-duty winter weather that made a mess of things on the northeastern seaboard yesterday has moved out to sea, but not before forcing the cancellation of more than 1,100 flights out of the New York area airports alone. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
You're in the Fox Light.
Denzel Washington's tour de force performance, whatever that means, as the American Gangster leads off this week's Fox Light DVD release roundup. He is Frank Lucas, driver to a leading black crime boss who applies all he's learned and becomes the biggest and best, and the target of an outcast cop, Russell Crowe, who sets out to take him down. The deluxe unrated edition adds almost 20 minutes of footage to the hit film. George Clooney's latest Oscar nod is out on DVD just in time for the Oscar telecast as Michael Clayton. Clooney is a sold-his-soul corporate attorney who must come to the rescue of his firm's leading attorney, Tom Wilkinson, who suffers a mental breakdown while defending an agricultural firm who allegedly released cancer-causing chemicals into the atmosphere. And TV on DVD this week includes Mike Huckabee backer, Walker, Texas Ranger, Season 4, Coach, Season 3, and Cops, Season 20. In New York, Rob Moore, Fox News Talk.
The Fox Light.
Keep listening for more Focus from the Fox Light on Fox News Talk.
The so-called Green Zone in Baghdad, the focus of deadly attacks that fortunately didn't find any human targets.
This is the fourth time this week coalition targets have been attacked by rockets or mortars. The U.S. military has pointed the finger at Shiite militias who've broken away from leader Muqtada al-Sadr. He recommitted to another 6-month ceasefire yesterday. There's been no release of casualty figures, if any, but 10 explosions were heard at dawn this morning. The Green, or International Zone, houses the U.S. and British embassies, the Iraqi parliament, and many administrative and military headquarters in Baghdad. Anita McNaught, Fox News Radio.
Well, they're trying out some new underwear that's out of this world. Literally, out of this world.
Just take those off!
Japanese astronaut Takao Doi probably won't dance in his underwear a la Tom Cruise in Risky Business, but he will be trying on and floating around in some new underwear 200 miles above the planet at the International Space Station next month.
Atlantis, Houston.
The nether regions of the final frontier will soon be pampered by science. Doi's new stretchable boxers, gym wear, and socks are made with antibacterial, antiseptic, antistatic fibers. That's because astronauts cannot be antisocial in tight quarters, and they can only take sponge baths.
Because you would have water spraying everywhere.
After the testing's done, both the underwear products and their prices will likely come down to earth. Holly Hickman, Fox News Radio.
Hey, I didn't ask for the money. They gave it to me. That appears to be the stance of a New York man who came to believe he was the owner of a multi-million dollar bank account.
Benjamin Lovell, a salesman from Brooklyn, took $2 million from the bank. Problem is, it belonged to an account managed by another Benjamin Lovell. The salesman's lawyer says he didn't intend to steal it and will explain in court what the bank told him that made him believe the account was his. He's spent the money on gifts, jewelry, and failed investments. He's under arrest for grand larceny, and a judge lowered his bail from $1 million to $10,000. Lisa Lucera, Fox News Radio.
A California woman's been awarded more than $9 million after losing her medical coverage while in the midst of chemotherapy for breast cancer. Being dropped by HealthNet left her with $129,000 in unpaid bills. Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Nikki James here at KSCO 1080. Your Central Coast forecast for today: rain, mostly cloudy, near 54 degrees, and windy with a south-southeast wind of 9 to 12 miles per hour. And it will increase later to 34 and 37 miles per hour. Tonight we will have periods of rain, especially if the storms start really going. It's going to be real heavy rainfall. And the low around 48, windy, really windy, 34 to 37 miles per hour, with gusts as high as 46 miles per hour. And Sunday, we will also have a lot of clouds and showers and lots of wind, 30 miles per hour with gusts up to 45. Your Monterey Bay boaters forecast for today: the gale warning is in effect from now until late tonight. Southeast winds will be 15 to 25 knots, increasing 25 to 30 knots by mid-morning. Combined seas 8 to 12 feet. Dominant period 13 seconds, and a slight chance of rain in the morning. Your current temperature here at KSCO Studios is 52 degrees, and the time is 11:06 on this Saturday, February 23rd of 2008. And I'm Nikki James, KSCO, and back to the Saturday special with MZ.
Indeed, you are Nikki James, and I'm so happy you are. We're talking about mortgages, and we might get into some politics a little later on during this hour. We might not, but I can tell you one thing. We're going to have a world premiere K's commentary coming up next.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really got to go to KSCO Radio.
And Natalie and Coralitos, Daniel and Capitola, and Connie and Aptos, please stay with us. We will get to your phone calls right after we do the following world premiere, Kay's commentary. Take it away,
Nikki. The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's whirling.
The practice of congressional earmarks has been a rotten and sneaky action condoned and used by many, if not most, members of Congress who were voted into office by their constituents who thought or hoped that their candidate was looking after their interests and had pledged to spend our money wisely. If you believe that, I have a bridge in Brooklyn I'd love to sell you. And by the way, whenever Hillary talks about the importance of experience in being a lawmaker, she means learning the ropes, like about earmarks. I just received a letter from Steve Elliott, president of GrassFire.org Alliance, of which I'm a member, and the title of the letter is No More Pork Spending, and it tells it well. So listen. Dear Kay, the omnibus spending bill pushed through Congress last December gutted the Security Fence Act, but left intact were thousands of earmarks that directed hundreds of millions of tax dollars to pet projects and preferred supporters, all without public debate or even a vote in Congress. Outrageously, just 2 months into the new year, lawmakers have already begun soliciting earmark requests for 2008. JFK, earmarks have become a symbol of the culture of the widespread corruption on Capitol Hill. And as a valued Grass Fire team member, I'm asking you to join with me right now by signing our petition calling for an end to earmarks. 2007 was a banner year for pork. Citizens Against Government Waste reported the taxpayers have funded 2,658 so-called pork projects for a whopping $13 billion with a B. Listen to some of the following. 1. $1 million for Hillary Clinton's Hippie Museum in New York, honoring the events of Woodstock. Who cares? $6 million to research new uses for wood. $1.3 million to Raleigh, North Carolina, to build a year-round climate-controlled park carousel. In each instance, Congress did not debate them in the open, and there was never even a public vote. Is it any wonder why Americans do not trust our elected leaders? We have only 30 days to make an impact. K, the corrupting influence of earmarks have boiled over, and I'm relying on members of our team to help me rally 100,000 citizens who are standing with me and demanding an end to earmarks. Here is what we're calling for. 1. An immediate one-year moratorium on earmarks. 2. Congress to pass a permanent legislative or constitutional solution that bans earmarks. And 3. Presidential and congressional candidates to pledge to support the one-year moratorium as well as the permanent ban. It would be difficult to find a more self-serving and corruptive practice than earmarks. That's why I'm asking all members of our team to join with me right now to help bring earmarks to an end. That is the end of the letter. And so, listeners, if you would like to know more about this group and perhaps join in, go to grassfire.org alliance. G in Grassfire is capital, and A in Alliance is also capital. And thank you so much for listening to me. For KSCO and KOMY, this is Kay Swirling.
Well, well, well. We're back. Hour number two of the KSCO Saturday special is now commencing with John Cannon. We've been talking about more. Hey, John, how you doing?
Fine.
Okay, let's go back to where we were.
I actually agreed with your mom on that.
You do?
Yeah.
I mean, you did?
Definitely anti-earmarks. I don't know who would be pro-earmark, except for people who, you know.
Well, I when she was saying,
like a partisan issue
when she was saying, I guess she was, a lot of that was a letter. Most of what mom does is self-written, but once in a while she gets something that she wants to share with someone, you know, word for word here. But, when she got to the part about, there should be a moratorium or an end to earmarks that should be voted through by Congress. I was thinking to myself, smoke another one.
Oh, yeah.
You know? It ain't going to happen.
Yeah, but people, you know, have to keep saying we want it. And, you know, once in a while, one of those things that we all want happens. So.
Yeah, yep, true. Okay,
let's
go
back to
Natalie here in Corralitos. Sorry, Natalie here. Now we're back, and we've got Daniel and Capitola and Connie and Aptos and anybody else who wants to call 479-1080 and talk to John.
So Natalie was asking about value. And when someone calls me and says, okay, I'd like to find out if I'm a refi candidate or not, what the next step is. And Natalie, you mentioned Zillow, which is Zillow.com. And it's not an appraisal, but it's a ballpark. I mean, if you can certainly get an idea of what's going on. And as I mentioned to Michael earlier, you can also learn a lot just by kind of paying attention to what's going on in your neighborhood in terms of the number of homes that are for sale and the amount of time that they've been for sale. If you don't have very much that's for sale, or you find that if something does go on, it gets sold relatively quickly, then chances are values are holding or have maybe even increased a little bit in your area.
Okay, well, my question to that one is, what if you're in an area where there hasn't been a lot of what they call comp or home sales, and you want to refinance and get the value of your home? Do you look at comps that are, let's say, maybe 2 years old or a year old, where houses sold when the market was a little stronger, or maybe where there was a little more confidence in buying a home?
It's hard. It is. You have hit upon a big concern and an issue right now, and that is trying to get appraisals done in areas where there are very few comps. And an appraisal, they will take a comp that's older, and they'll have to adjust for it for the age of the comp, and they'll also they'll take whatever recent comps you have, and kind of let that help them bring those other ones into line. The appraisal process is much more art than science. It's you can have three or four different people appraise a single property, and they can all come in at different numbers just because of how much they do adjust for time, for distance, for amenities in a house. So ultimately, ultimately the only way to ever find out what your house is really worth is to sell it. But the second thing is to actually pop for a full appraisal, and the lender, they're going to have to take that, and if there's, you know, if there's very few comps, the appraiser has to work really hard to make it make sense. But it's still, it's doable. It's very hard for, you know, you or me to go look at public records or whatever and try to figure out what the value of the homes have done. I would say in general, if you haven't had a lot of sales in your area, that's probably a good thing in this current market.
Okay, all right.
Because having a lot of activity in a market that's, you know, not that strong, it can snowball on you. And that's one of the things, Michael, that people need to understand with the foreclosure situation that's going on, is that all you need is one or two of those in your neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
And it can really affect things, which is why if you have an interest in refinancing for any reason, there is no time like the present. This sounds like a sales pitch, and I guess, you know, I have to cop to that. But the longer this goes on, the more likely, even in good neighborhoods, you could have people that wind up having to sell their house for some reason other than that they want to. And that whenever you sell a house for any reason other than you want to, you might wind up taking less than you'd like, and that can really have reverberations throughout the neighborhood.
Yeah, okay. Well, this has helped to at least kind of let me know where we stand, or be clear about maybe what I need to do so I can figure out where we stand with that before we, let's say, call somebody like you and say, hey, well, you know, what can you do about refinancing this particular property?
Right. So I would say you could start with Zillow. And, you know, if you've been, how long have you been in the property, Natalie?
This is a property in Maui.
Ah.
It's a condo. It's not a condo. It's a very, you know, how they have unusual properties there. It's relatively new and beautiful. And so what I'm thinking is somebody that has a really strong kind of credit rate could possibly take something that at one time wasn't a jumbo and turn it into a jumbo now. I mean, that's
right.
A real value for a lot of people that
The only thing that sticks in my head is that I know Hawaii right now has a higher conforming loan amount than we do here.
Yeah, why is that? Why don't we have a higher conforming loan than around other parts of California if Hawaii does?
You know what I really think? It's all the people in the flyover states hate us. Oh. The people in the middle of the country do not understand why people pay what they pay
on
the coast.
But they don't hate
Hawaii.
They don't hate Hawaii.
They like, no, that's, you know.
I don't get it.
They hate us.
So, okay. You know, what I'll do so I don't interrupt anybody else's time is that I'll listen for your number and then maybe call you.
Give it now.
Why don't I give it now?
Yeah.
Don't you give it now?
Okay.
Yeah.
I should have given it probably 8 times already. Like I said.
Yeah, because you didn't.
Okay. It is 925 number. My office is in Pleasanton. And so 925-218-1907.
Great. Okay, so you answered my question, or at least you let me know that I should probably do a little homework so that I have what the information I need.
Yeah. Although if you need someone to drive around the neighborhood and look to see how many things are for sale, you could send me and I could go do that for you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
you
just, you know,
trip off.
Send me and my wife and my two kids, and we'll go look and see how that value is doing there. Okay?
Yeah, it's always nice to have a tenant move out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
gives you some options.
Yeah.
Okay, Natalie, thanks for your call to the Saturday special. And best of luck to you. Here comes Daniel in Capitola, our next caller on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO, the Saturday special. Daniel, you're on.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you.
Hi, Daniel.
I had just turned on prior to you going to the news, and I heard a number of things that you were discussing about unscrupulous lending practices through the, if you can call it that, you know, the mortgage lenders.
Did we talk about that?
I think we need to define that. What were you hearing that we were talking about being unscrupulous?
Well,
we haven't gotten to that yet.
I heard you saying a number of things, you know, putting on a bigger prepayment penalty.
Oh, I didn't. Yes.
Term,
okay. Yes.
You know, and
don't deal with those people if you have
that. Which I did.
Ah.
I am calling. The reason I'm calling is because I am just about in foreclosure in another area. I've had a number of health problems, and what I'm concerned, I refinanced last January of 2007, I'm about to lose the property now. What I am concerned about is whether, here in the neighborhood, in the area that I live up there, 70 houses in foreclosure in my area. I couldn't give my house away.
Right.
The value that they lent on is tremendously decreased. Long gone. What I'm concerned about is the difference that they're going to get the house back and sell it for, and if they can come after me for that difference.
You're talking about a deficiency judgment now, so.
Yes.
And a short sale. You need to do a short sale if you can.
A short sale
is an agreed upon thing with the lender that you're going to sell the house. You're not going to get what you owe on it, but you know they're agreeing that you know that it's better than them getting the house back.
Yeah. Banks do not like REOs on their books. REO stands for real estate owned, and they're not in the business of owning real estate. They're in the business of getting interest payments on real estate.
And one of the things, and I'm going to just sidetrack here for a second, one of the things that is so frustrating for people that are in Daniel's position is that, Daniel, I'm going to guess that around the middle of last year, you probably realized that you were in trouble, and you might have even called your lender to try to get some help. And lenders at that time were oblivious to where this was all headed.
It is one of those big lenders, very well in the forefront of the news. And the thing that I can't understand is, you know, I borrowed the money. How could they have not known with what was going on in January of last year?
And well, they might have known.
I went through a mortgage broker, and like I said, what you said earlier is absolutely true. If you sell a house for any other reason than if you want to, you're going to lose. I was in a position where I was already in trouble, and I had been dragged through this process to where it was told it was going to close, and it went on. And what he was dragging me out to get me just before foreclosure, and so that I was in a position where there was no way that I could not take the loan, or I would have lost it then.
Okay, so you almost
see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I was really worked.
Yeah.
I made the decision. Yes, I was wrong, but I was also really worked. And you know, he will. No, I would never go to him again. I will not say. You know, he was dirty. The mortgage broker.
Right. And there's a lot of them.
I made a bad mistake.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was, like I said, there's health things and a number of other things going on. So, like I said, the thing I'm concerned about now is what do I do now?
Well, I think...
And they legally come after me for the deficiency.
Not that I know, but I will be honest, Daniel. I am not an expert in this part of the... of the game. What I would like to have you do.
I don't think so. I don't think I wouldn't tell him that right now. Now, I need to preface this by saying this is from my memory, and I hope I'm correct, okay?
Okay, and Daniel, I'm going to invite you to call me Monday and let me do some work on your behalf to try to find, because I need to know the answer too. And no. So I'd be happy to.
If it's a mortgage, and California doesn't have mortgages, I don't know why they call them mortgage companies, because they're really not. They're first deed. Trust deed companies, mm-hmm. you know, and back from my real estate studying days, it seems to me that that deeds of trust do not have deficiency judgments attached to them. In other words,
what I have been told, and I haven't found it out for myself, but an accountant told me this, was that, state of California, if it's for a purchase, no, they cannot go after you, but if it's for a refinance, you took the money and used it.
The hard money loan, and that's what it was
for
you. Yeah,
it wasn't hard money. It wasn't hard money, but it was a cash out refinance.
Cash out refi.
You might have a worry there. Oh,
so
I hope you don't. But
well, and I see some new blinking going on the phones here, so we may get someone calling in who has the answer to this question too.
Hold on, Daniel. Let's bring in Kurt, who is a realtor in Scotts Valley. Kurt, you're on the air on KSL.
I have to get off the line. I have another call.
Okay, Daniel. Please call me. And
I will.
We'll give the number a few more times.
925.
He has
218.
An yeah.
218-1907. I very much will. I liked what you had to say earlier.
Well, I appreciate it.
Okay,
I will
thank you
do
very
whatever
much.
Here's
I can
Kurt, if you want to get the quick answer to your question, Daniel. Kurt,
I'll turn on the radio.
All right.
Okay. Thanks. Hello?
Hi, Kurt. Hi, Kurt. You're on KSC.
Hi, Michael. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, to answer your question, the way the banks are looking at, if on a short sale, if you have no assets and you don't have any funds or any accounts or and you're basically living hand to mouth. Right now, they will work with you, and the chances are they won't go after you. So one of the conditions of a short sale is you have no other assets. And they're like right now they're working with people a lot more than they were, let's say, 6 months ago.
Yeah, that was my point, Kurt. That they just didn't get it.
And, absolutely.
They could have kept so many people in their homes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And here's the other thing. There's the way they will look at the loans is, as far as deficiency, is if it's a purchase money loan, meaning that was the original loan, and let's say they did a first and a second, and let's say that's your only property, and you walk away from that, they can't come after you. But the problem people are having is they have the first or the second, and then they refi, and let's say on the second they turn that into a HELOC, right? And it's like a credit card.
What's that for our audience? Yeah. And I don't know what it is.
Okay, so for example, let's say you go. I'm just going to say and put a number. Let's say you bought $1 million home. You bought it with a first for $800,000, and then you got a second on it for, let's say, $100,000 or something. Okay, and then you go back, and let's say you bought this 5 years ago, and then 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when the market was good, you go, hey, you know, it's worth 1.5 or whatever, 1.3. And then you turn that second into a HELOC. So instead of saying, hey, it's worth 1.3 now, I have a $100,000 second, you know, they would come in and give you a second mortgage that had a HELOC option, meaning that instead of being $100,000, they'd give you $350,000 on it.
Right, it's a line of credit.
Correct.
A home equity line of credit is what HELOC is.
So then, let's say you get this, and then you're having hard times, and so you keep pulling money out of that second, that HELOC, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, you get to the end of your rope, and let's say your total loans out on the house are $1.3 million, and it was worth 1.5, you know, a while ago.
Not
but
anymore.
Now it's worth $1 million if you can even get a buyer. And that's the problem right now. There's just not a lot of buyers out there. Then what's happening, what we're seeing is that if these if you do a short sale, sometimes the banks are electing to go after the people for the difference in the whatever it closed for versus the total loans out, and it's usually the HELOC that's catching people. So they'll go, hey, we're going to come after the borrower for the difference, or we want him to sign an unsecured note. So that's happening, but what I would like to say is it's getting – there are more and more foreclosures on the market in which – I mean, there's always been in Watsonville, but now it's permeating all through the valley. We're seeing a lot of them or more of them in Scotts Valley, where a year ago there was none. Now they're totally affecting the comps. And right. But I think the good news is that the banks are kind of realizing that this isn't going to go away. And like like was being said, 6 months ago, they kind of just turned their head and thought it would just disappear. But it's getting so big, I think, that some things are going to happen. And actually, what I was going to ask about is, you know, what your guest thinks about the mortgage-backed securities like MBIA and ANBAC. The insurers for the main banks are potentially going under.
Yeah, it's paralyzing. And that's why I don't think they will, Daniel. I read, and then Friday afternoon there was another note that that one of those guys was going to get bailed out. I think
they're trying to – but you know what I see happening that I didn't even hear a couple months ago is that some kind of big federal bailout program because of – seems like right now banks don't even want to fund the loans, right? Because they passed that stimulus package, and it just seems like everything's changing underneath everybody pretty substantially. So what do you think of that?
Well, I there was a question in there somewhere. I missed it. What do I think of?
Well, it's just like right now, for example, I don't want to scare anybody.
What do you think about the economic stimulus package? I think he's what he's asking.
Well,
changing things.
Well,
is it a good thing or a bad thing?
No, it's got to be a good thing. Kurt's asking me if I agree with him that we're all in a lot more trouble than we
Absolutely.
Think at this point.
Well, and here's my point. The head of the FDIC went to the head of the Senate Housing Committee, Chairman Christopher Dodds, and said that they're going to have $600 billion of loans resetting in the next 2 years. And
that's like yours, Michael. They're fixed and they're going to adjustable.
Yeah, and the thing is, the banks, I mean, we're having problem raising capital to even lend on it, right? Banks want to raise the rates. The Fed wants to drop it. And I think what's happening, as far as what I'm just seeing is, and I'd be curious what your thought is, I think this thing is a lot bigger of a problem than anybody thought it would be, and they're having to try to figure out what they can do to get people from just not simply walking away from their commitments or their loans.
Well, here's an interesting angle on that, Kurt, and it's the banks who have really had things their way the last 7 years. I mean,
Agreed.
The banks have had very good friends in high places the last 7 years, and one of the things they were able to do was push through this new bankruptcy law. And what the bankruptcy law did was made it much tougher for people to declare bankruptcy with credit card debt.
Right.
And so what they're doing now is they're giving their houses back. And so the banks, in overreaching and being greedy,
right.
they went after the $20,000 that somebody might, you know, default on a credit card, and now they're getting a $250,000 house back dumped in their lap.
Absolutely.
And it couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of guys, in my opinion. But it that was a little sidebar. But I agree. I think that you are going to have – they're just going to try to keep people in the houses somehow. And I guess the thing that I have faith in is that – and not because any of them are good people.
Right.
But because there is so much at stake.
Absolutely.
That they will figure out a way to not have this just capsize the country. We will not be – you know, this will not look like, you know, the Middle East in 2 years
you
because
what?
Of what's happening.
I completely agree because I think – it's so much of a bigger problem that they even thought would happen that
yeah.
you're exactly right. It's not because they're nice guys, because here's the other problem. We've had some clients that, you know how they say, call us and we'll redo the loan or whatever, and we try to help them not go into a short sale or something because they have to give their house away. The banks are just kind of, you know, being there tokenly, just saying, oh, yeah, da-da-da-da-da, but they're really not doing anything. And
they're paralyzed.
Yeah, right. And it seems like they're waiting for the federal government. They want them to come in and kind of bail them out, you know?
Yeah, and they probably will.
You think so?
Yeah, because they have to.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
even for jumbos.
Well,
not for jumbos.
I don't. Probably not for jumbos.
Yeah.
You know, because so much of the country can be fixed with loans. You know, if you talk about loans under $500,000, that's a lot of the country. I mean,
right.
Really, you know,
right.
So that takes care of most areas. But it's going to be a very interesting time here, Daniel. I agree with that. And thank you for filling in the blanks.
Yeah, no problem.
I'm sorry, Kurt, for Daniel, because, you know, that's good information.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say on another note, Michael, I love KSEO and your mom, and I think your station's great. So,
hey, thanks, Kurt.
I appreciate the kind words. Okay, you guys have a great day.
Okay,
you
thanks,
too.
Kurt.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Connie and Aptos, thanks for waiting 30-something minutes. You're on KSEO. No, more.
Well, fortunately, the program was so interesting, I didn't mind waiting.
Oh, good. All right.
What I'd like to ask you, John, is all of this a problem in the home industry?
Is this my friend and client, Connie?
Probably is. No.
I've got a Connie in Aptos. Then go ahead. I'm sorry. It sounds like you. So.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right. My concern is with the commercial market. I've got a 10-year call coming up on a very valuable property. Is that going to affect the interest rate on what we will be trying to get?
We are starting to see commercial. And Kurt mentioned the companies that insure the loans, the bond insurers on commercial loans, are also starting to wave red flags. And so, yes, it can. What's your time frame?
Well, in November, but I have a property worth about $2.3 million, and I only need $750,000. Should I work through the same lender, which is Bank of America, or should I go out and try and get a better interest rate?
Well, I think I don't do a lot of commercial work, but I mean you should always talk to more than one lender. But I would certainly advocate you moving on that quickly.
Oh, you think I should start before the October deadline?
Yeah, I would at least get your ducks in a row, mm-hmm. And so that you know depending on what the situation is at that time, you can move you can move quickly. I really think what's very important, Michael, whether people are looking for a home refi or a commercial or someone like you that has loans that are you have one loan that's adjusting right now. That that one's on fire, Michael. We gotta work on that one because it's going to adjust in a couple months. But even if people have a home loan that's going to adjust in a year, or I have a client that has a $2 million loan that's going to adjust in 2 years, and he's got a great loan, but he wants to have that house forever, and I cannot guarantee him that in 2 years I'm going to be able to get him a $2 million loan on that property because I don't know what the property is going to be valued at. I don't know what players are going to be in that super, super jumbo loan market. I don't know any of that stuff. And so I started to work with him on getting a new loan, and he's got a great first loan. And while I was in the process of working on a new loan for him, and I found a solution that he liked, and he didn't love it, actually, to be honest. He didn't like it that much, but he saw what was coming, and he said, okay, John, we'll go ahead with this thing. And the lender pulled the program while we were in the process.
They can't do that.
They did it.
It was locked in and everything?
It was locked in. The first was locked in, and it was a first and second situation. And the lender on the second, we hadn't locked in yet, and they stopped doing seconds, period. So that went away, and then I had to find another second to go buy in the first, and I couldn't. And then our lock expired on the first, and so that went away. So it proved my point, and I do like to be right, but I didn't want to be right in this situation because I lost the loan. But I just want everybody to be hyper aware that things are not as they've always been. And in a year or two, or even in October, Connie, we don't know what it's going to be like. As Kurt mentioned, this is changing every day.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, it seems like, interest rates are going down so much right now. I know some friends have refinanced. But anyway, on the commercial market, that is completely different. I understand that. Interest rates
right.
are usually higher no matter what. So you haven't heard anything about interest rates going down in commercial?
No, I haven't heard anything about that. And all I've heard is that I think it was in the Wall Street Journal yesterday or the day before that they're starting to have ripples in the bond insurers of commercial loans also, which has always been a pretty steady industry, and they're, so that can have a reflection, because if there are fewer investors, your rates are going to go up. It's they need to raise the rate to get the investors interested, and that's
definitely,
you know, that's
I
where
hope
it goes.
That doesn't fall on us. Okay, well, I'll take your advice and I'll start working on getting the new loan right away.
It's got to be good advice, Connie.
Thank you.
Thank
okay.
you, Connie.
It's been a wonderful show. I've enjoyed it. Thank
Great.
You.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks for your call to the KSCO Saturday special, where Joe in Soquel is now on the air. Joe, you're on.
Yeah. First of all, I'd like to make just a brief comment. Kurt, I sort of disagree with this fact that everything's bad and getting worse. I realize things are bad, but, you know, if we think back to the banking scenario, we had all that. When the Resolution Trust came in and bailed out these S&Ls, things then went along okay. I mean, that was
right.
a big, big deal. Now, this is another occurrence. I mean, you know, we're going to have these occurrences. And so why paint everything black and getting blacker? You know, only get so black. I mean, that's anyway my comment.
Okay.
Okay. I being an ex-banker, by the way, which I'm not, you know, in the old days, it was different. It was a different program. But anyway, I got a friend. I haven't been in the banking business for 15 years. So, friend, okay. acquaintance, he got this loan. First of all, he hasn't worked since, I think, 1988, if you look at, and that's when he got kicked out of the service or left the service because he was smoking too much pot. Good Santa Cruz.
Yeah, they don't have much of a sense of humor about that, do
no,
they?
No, but that was his last job. Now, got this loan a year ago, had no income, you know, nothing. Now he owes about $180,000. It's a little house that he inherited from his mother when he got out of the service. He took care of her in about 3 acres, a nice little house plus a little studio. And he has no income. In fact, he's a little off, you know, mentally.
Yeah.
You know, he said, how can someone, and I was astonished because when I met him, how could he ever get a loan? And, of course, he's only 5 months behind payments.
From a loan shark, obviously, right?
Well, what can he do?
What can he do now?
Yeah. Why would somebody even consider a loan? He had no credit. He had no job. No income.
Well, Here's
Maybe.
How he got a loan. First of all, let's talk yeah. about, you know, and unfortunately, there's nothing he can do except ultimately, if the bank is not willing to work with him, which I don't know why the bank would, if he's not making any money, then there's no point. So he's just going to have to figure out another place to live. I mean, that's, you know, that's what it's going to come down to.
His mother's old place.
I know.
You follow
well,
me? He's not mentally, you know, he's out there. You know,
Joe, I you know what? First of all, I want to recognize and appreciate your concern for a fellow human in trouble.
Yeah.
And believe me, I have heard some of the most heart-wrenching stories over the last month or so from people, and I wish
yeah.
that there was an answer. But let me first of all try to explain how someone like that gets a loan. And that
yeah.
was, I don't know, when did he refinance? Or when,
two years ago.
Okay.
Been living on this money, see?
Right.
You know,
so back when it seemed like values were always going to go up.
Well, his property, not as it down there. See, this is a case that I'm guessing that just as an eyeball appraisal, the property is probably worth $450,000. So there's plenty of equity there.
Okay.
There's just no repayment.
Right.
And my
how old is he?
He's probably in his probably 50s,
yeah,
around his 50s, you know, so he can't get a reverse
right,
mortgage.
Right.
He can't, you know, the poor guy is, and he's not, as they say, he's not there.
Right.
He's not.
Okay. So let me go back to my,
no,
my tale. Is that back when that was going on, though, regardless of what his particular income or equity situation
yeah.
is, lenders figured, look, if there's a lot of equity in this property,
yeah.
then it's a good loan, because even if the guy fails, you know, we sell the property,
yeah,
we make money, and everything's good. They did not foresee that they would have thousands of properties coming back at them.
That's right.
I mean, it's like, you know, they wanted a little drink from a water fountain, and somebody turned on a fire hose.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
Yeah, they haven't started any formal procedure. And I know he's 4 or 5 months behind.
Yeah.
And, you know, at $1,800 a month.
Yeah.
And plus, I just briefly looked at his papers. You know, he's got prepayment charges. He's got
Well, sure, because someone is going to take advantage of somebody like that. I mean, that's, you know,
they got him rope tied.
Yeah.
So, would you recommend what you're saying? Go back to the lender even now, maybe, possibly.
Well, Joe, to be honest with you, I don't know who would give the man money.
No.
Because he cannot repay it.
Yeah, I realize that. Is there any recourse? Because they socked him so many points. He probably $20,000 in that loan is already points and fees. You understand what I'm saying?
No, I do. And you know, I think the only thing would be that if you could show that he was impaired, that maybe there's a way out, you know, because he signed the loan documents, but he really shouldn't have been allowed to, and you know, that someone there's working some, with him should have mental, known that. Mental, yeah. But, you know, there's a decent chance that the broker who did that for him is out of business. I mean, I don't know where you go to get the dough, unless he got it from the bank. If he walked into Washington Mutual or Wells Fargo and got it, he got it from a broker.
With the 10-foot pole when you talk to him. You know,
Joe, it's right. But thank you for your concern.
I appreciate
thing.
You doing a good job, and I commend KSCO. They really.
We're to be condemned.
Yeah.
I mean, commended. Hey, listen, thanks, Joe. Have you commended. Heard? Have you heard?
Yeah, wait a minute. You're wrong. Anyway.
Have you heard the John's report with Dave and Charlie on the happy hour?
No.
He's on every day. He's on every
4:40 every day.
I love to hear Charlie because he's such a character.
He is. I'm having a ball.
He's one fine guy. You know. He's good.
Well, thanks,
Joe.
Thanks
anyway for the program, and thanks for allowing me to talk.
You bet. Okay, here comes Dave Allen.
Okay, and Dave, before we get into your before we get into that, I just want to give my phone number again because we forget to do that from time to time. 925-218-1907. And happy to talk about any scenario. Be ready for me to ask some questions about the value of the house and your current mortgage. I'd be shocked how many people call, you would be shocked how many people call and don't know what their rate is. Like, what's your rate? Well, I don't know. My wife does that. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to need to know. Before I can know if I can help you, we kind of need to know what you're paying right now. So, obviously we get a lot of calls from the car. People hear it on the radio. But it's a good idea if you're in the market, if you're starting to think about mortgages, go look at your statement and, you know, understand your current situation and then give me a call. Okay, Dave.
You're on.
Me?
You.
Yes.
Hey, I didn't hear that favorite.
It happened a minute ago.
Oh. Anyways, Michael, where do you find this guy?
Weren't you listening at the beginning of the program, Dave?
No, that's a compliment.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I like his radical humor. I'm laughing about the 209 area code.
You might not like that. Is pretty funny. Dave is a Dave Allen is a talk host on this radio station, and
I figured because I know the back line is what the one blinking. Yeah. I could tell this is an inside job.
Yeah,
back line. Right. I'm not a backdoor guy. Anyways, listen up. The last caller, man.
Yeah.
Too many people like that been strapped down and bent over the couch.
Yeah, it's. I wish I could be more proud of the industry in which I work, and I cannot. I can tell you that there are a lot of people out there like me who really care about people, and there's, you know, as Michael made the point early in the show, there was plenty of money to be made from 2002 to 2007. You didn't need to do that to people in order to make a living in the mortgage business.
Well, why do you loan people to get in their karma, countrywide, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah.
By the way, in note with the show, Mike, tomorrow at 4 o'clock, I'm going to have a program similar to this with a guy named Mike Stathis. He's the manager. This guy has several books out, but not pushing books, but he tells people how you can make money even if you don't even own property, with the real estate market and this bubble that's about to pop. Should be a very interesting program, positive information.
You're talking about a bubble that's about to pop, and it's positive information. I don't know.
And you're saying it's about to pop?
The one that's already played, it's catching in the real estate bubble.
Well, I would tell anyone, you know, right now, it is a great time to invest in real estate carefully.
Yeah.
Right now. And in fact, Michael, one of the things I'd like to talk about before we get out of here.
It's always a good time to invest in real estate.
Well, I don't.
Carefully.
Yes, I would say that that's true. So this is no less a time. And one of the things that I use when I talk to people about that and they're kind of questioning, I ask them, is this a good time to sell real estate? And the answer to that is...
Absolutely not.
Yeah, it's a horrible time to sell real estate. So therefore, it's got to be a decent time to buy it, right?
So it's buyer's
it can't
market.
Be both. It can't be bad.
It can't be both. That's exactly
so,
what I'm saying.
I'm impressed. This is an impressive dude we have here in the studio here today, Dave.
Yeah, my daughter's taking some real estate class at Cabrillo, and a couple of her Spider Island friends. Real estate, a real good one. Everything's flapping. You want to go in real estate? But you told me, and you told her, absolutely not a bad time. It's good for her to do this.
Sure.
Oh, you know, I wish, I mean, I got into the mortgage business at the age of, I don't know, 41 or something. And I wish that I had had my head on straight about business and real estate, you know, much sooner. I was very late to the ball game. I blew all my time, you know, in the sports world. I mean, I had a ball, but...
Sports world, they had gone to concerts with your bong.
Well, no, that wasn't me, but...
You didn't go with your bong. You left your bong home.
I actually didn't ever have one.
Oh, okay.
In fact, I've looked at them and wondered how people, you know, how does that work? That's so... I'm a little squeaky where that's concerned, but I did work in sports for a long time in radio, and I had a great time, and I didn't know anything about money or markets or any of that stuff. So I'm late to the game, but I compliment your daughter, Dave, on getting into it and an understanding of it sooner. My dad teaches high school in Watsonville.
Yeah, oh really?
And he tries to teaches math and consumer math and also some econ, and so he really tries to help these kids. You know, understand how important it is, you know, to know this stuff.
Well, you know, I'm seeing as they look around Craigslist, et cetera, a lot of people themselves in financial institutions coming up with really creative things now.
Yeah.
One more question here, real quick.
Real quick, Dave. We got to move on.
Now, I have a couple of friends that said, well, you know, there's, well, I put an ad out there. There's people right now that due to misfortune or career or jobs being shipped somewhere else and losing their jobs, they can't take their mortgage. Not that their mortgage went up, but what about, would you encourage people to assume somebody's loan, like this thing, look, instead of crashing, ruining your life, take a hike, I'll just take over.
Take over the payments of someone.
Yeah, to move in, take over.
If you can allow that.
Is that possible?
Well, there are some loans allow you to do that. It's in the note.
You.
If it's, you know, I know Wells Fargo, I think their loans routinely are assumable.
Really?
And the question would be, you know, do you want to take over a loan for $700,000 on a $500,000 house?
No.
I mean, that's, you know, but on the other hand, if you get a, you know, if you get a smoking deal on the house and maybe it can't, and you want to live there forever, you know, and you believe that the value will come back, and it's better than the rate or, you know, you, that you could get right now. I mean, you know, all those things, and you really want to help the person who's selling it.
Variables.
You know, there are a lot of variables in every situation.
All right, listen, I'm going to go listen here in the good program.
Okay.
Tomorrow, 4 o'clock.
Okay.
Nice plug.
All right, Dave.
The plug-o-meter. You need a plug-o-meter in here.
Okay.
Okay, so what I wanted to talk about a little bit more is the investment thing, because as I mentioned, it's one of the things that North Point does and does exceedingly well. And first of all, I want to talk a little bit about this company that I work for, because – one of the things that the people who run it do is they don't hire people who aren't just quality grounded people. That there are no mortgage shysters in the company that I work for. The company I worked for before, there were some good people and there were some people that you should run away from at high speed. And this company doesn't, that kind of person, even if they're a big producer, do a lot of loans, they don't get in the door at the place where I work now. So I wanted to say that for one thing. The group of people who own it, there's three people who own the company, and they are so sharp that a few years ago, they realized what was going to happen with mortgage rates. They were going to go up. They had to, right? So there was going to come a point when no one was going to need a refinance because everyone had a good loan. They've all got a five-year fixed, and, you know, so they were going to need something to sell. And at the same time, they had become real estate investors, both in partnership and individually, and had, through the school of hard knocks, gotten pretty good at it. They learned a lot of things not to do. And so they were getting more and more questions from people, clients and friends and family even, you know, help me invest in real estate. And so they thought about these two things that they had, these needs, a need for increased business in a couple of years and a need for being able to help people invest in real estate. And put together a model where they would find a market out of state and really dig into that market, get all the data that they needed about it, then find partners in that market, realtors, property managers, and really kind of turn the thing into a one-stop shop. So instead of just telling their good friend or client, go to Phoenix, they could say, okay, invest in Phoenix, and here's the kind of property that we're looking for, and here's the people who are going to help us make it happen. That was back in 04, and they did beta test it in Phoenix. And, of course, in Phoenix in 04, you could get off the plane drunk, and it was going to work out. I mean, you really could not screw up buying a property in Phoenix in 04. And then in 05, they started working in Portland in early 05, fall of 05, Albuquerque, New Mexico. And in late 06, they added Austin, Texas, and then Raleigh, North Carolina, and Atlanta. And the thing that all these markets have in common, and it goes to your point about getting further away, as you get further away from the core, housing prices are dropping. It's all about jobs, Michael. It's all about jobs and job growth. And the reason that San Francisco and Southern Marin County and the parts of Alameda County that are in tight, and San Mateo and, you know, Santa Clara, and then you get, you know, then there's problems. And then you get down to Santa Cruz, where you have, number one, you don't have huge housing tracts that have been built down here because the topography doesn't allow it. And the
government doesn't allow it.
Well, both both of those things.
Demography.
So, but it's a good thing now, because it's the areas where builders were able to just go wild.
It's true.
That they really have been in trouble, because the supply so far outstripped the demand. So we have found these markets where prices increased in 2007, and where builders are giving all kinds of incentives to buy, even though prices are strong. They're still giving rent-ready packages. They're giving closing cost credits, 2 points closing cost credit. You got a house that costs $250,000, and you get $5,000 in closing cost credit, and you get about $6,000 in washer, dryer, refrigerator, blinds, landscaping, stuff that you'd have to buy in order to rent it. And then we have a property management partner in each of these markets that will get the property rented out for you, and you do the whole thing. And we do the loan. So it's an A to Z solution for people who have some dough, believe real estate is going to come back. There's nowhere in California you can invest where it's going to cash flow and make any sense. And so if if people are interested in that, call me and we can get you hooked up. And we're doing great business, and we've been doing great business. And the big thing that we do is, when you do this with us, we never let you go until you say, leave me alone.
Right.
As long as we... You pay us in closing, because we get paid on the loan. That's the way that we get paid from the buyer. Is we don't charge a fee of, some people will charge you to be their friend in this kind of industry, but we charge you only if you buy a property. We get paid, and then in 2 years, if there's an issue with property management or something else, you call us, and we will come in and help. You are never off in the weeds. So that's North Point Real Estate Investment Services.
We are at the tail end of the program, John. Where did the 2 hours go? My gosh. I mean, we could talk about this.
I think it's that clock you were talking about that's broken.
You could talk about it forever, huh? Anyhow, thanks for coming in. We will see you. We will hear you.
You will hear me. Yes.
We will hear you each day with Charlie and Dave. And this program will be rebroadcast this evening between the hours of 10 p.m. and midnight. We're going to play the That's All, Folks, and then we'll do the commercial break here. Right,
okay, can I give my phone number one more time before we do that?
Go ahead.
925-218-1907.
Okay.
That's all, folks.
Pro Golf of Santa Cruz, located in the Gateway Plaza, has the lowest prices on golf equipment and apparel in Santa Cruz and Monterey counties. They carry the gear you want, like Cobra, TaylorMade, Titleist, Callaway, Adams, Cleveland, Mizuno, Ping, and Odyssey. They provide in-house full-service club repair, free custom club fitting, a state-of-the-art golf simulator, and during the month of February, they're also having a trade-in, trade-up event. Pro Golf of Santa Cruz, in the Gateway Plaza Shopping Center along River Street in Santa Cruz, where Office Max, Ross, PetSmart, and Cost Plus World Market are located. Open daily, Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 6:30. Saturday and Sunday, 9:30 to 6. Call 831-426-GOLF, 831-426-4653. Pro Golf of Santa Cruz.
Call 831-426-GOLF, 831-426-4653. Pro Golf of Santa Cruz, where service fits you to a T.
I have good news for all of you who want to have a great smile. Hello, I'm Dr. Guy Peabody. I've talked to you many times about how I offer sedation dentistry to take care of complex dental problems. Today, I have good news about how you can achieve a great new smile without having to have your teeth irreversibly reshaped. You may have heard about how porcelain veneers can be placed on worn or discolored teeth to make them look new. However, your teeth had to be subjected to moderate to aggressive grinding in order to make those veneers look natural. Now, we have a new porcelain veneer that is as thin as a contact lens, yet as strong as your natural teeth. This means you can have the brilliant, natural smile you want with little or no grinding, shots, or long sessions in the dental chair. Get the smile you've always wanted with the teeth you've always had. Give my office a call. I'm Dr. Guy Peabody.
Call Dr. Guy Peabody at 831-457-0343. Find Dr. Peabody's sedation dentistry on the web at drpeabody.com or in the Yellow Pages. You, too, can wake up to a beautiful smile.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Our Gilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both Gilda and my son Dino look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
Perspectives over the FISA bill once again. Now that President Bush is back from his Africa trip, the president now saying the Democrats are balking on passing the bill that renews electronic surveillance and gives retroactive immunity to telecoms that helped with warrantless wiretapping in the past because class action lawsuits are good for trial lawyers and trial lawyers back Democrats.
They can empower the trial bar or they can empower the intelligence community. They can help class action trial lawyers sue for billions of dollars, or they can help our intelligence officials protect millions of lives.
The president's radio speech answered by the Democrats who say responsibility for the fact there's no law on the books right now lies with the White House.
The president and House Republicans simply can't have it both ways. They cannot argue simultaneously that the temporary August law was essential to national security and then turn around and engineer the defeat of an extension of it.
Congressman John Conyers, who says even though the FISA law expired, surveillance safeguards to protect the U.S. from terrorists remain in place. A B-2 bomber has crashed on takeoff from a U.S. base.
The B-2 stealth bomber went down in thick, dark smoke, both pilots ejecting safely. But this is the first time a B-2 bomber has crashed and the cause under urgent investigation.
The scene of the crash on Anderson Air Force Base is all secured, and a board of officers is going to convene very, very fast to investigate the accident fully.
Lieutenant Colonel Doug Smith, the mission they were flying, classified, but generally the stealth fleet is in Guam to boost the U.S. security presence in the Asia-Pacific theater. The pilots and the plane are based at Whiteman Air Force Base in Missouri. Bill Vitka, Fox News Radio.
Each one of those B-2s costs more than $1 billion. Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama all over Ohio today ahead of the March 4th primary. John McCain getting the 9 GOP delegates from the Marianas Islands with Guam and American Samoa choosing theirs later today. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Warming, cool change.
Something as simple as washing your clothes, with just a few adjustments to your routine, can make a difference on our environment.
60% of the energy associated with a piece of clothing is spent in washing and drying.
For instance, over its lifetime, a t-shirt can add up to 9 pounds of carbon dioxide in the air.
What can you do? Wash your clothes in warm instead of hot water.
Save your laundry so you can do fewer and bigger loads instead of many small ones.
Use machines that are as energy efficient as possible.
Some of the newer ones can use as little as a fourth of the energy of older machines.
When you finish the wash, consider the almost lost art of hanging your clothes on a line rather than just loading them in the machine.
You might not be able to do it every time, but you can make an effort.
And you can make a difference.
More tips to combat global warming with a cool change are ahead on Fox News Talk.
Baghdad's Green Zone shelled this morning. A series of blasts heard in the area that houses the U.S. and British embassies, as well as the Iraqi government headquarters and thousands of U.S. troops. But the U.S. military says there were no injuries and no real damage. Egyptian President Mubarak says he sees, quote, slow progress in the Israeli-Palestinian peace talks. He says he hopes an agreement can be reached this year. He did not, however, say where he believes progress is being made. Both sides have agreed to accelerate the talks, which had been stalled over several issues. And on the ground, more unrest, a Palestinian-Israeli clash in the West Bank.
The toll from Friday's protests in the West Bank town of Belin were high. Some 30 were injured, including an American citizen. An estimated 2,500 people showed up to protest the third anniversary of building the separation wall. Israel says the walls are needed to keep out suicide bombers. The Palestinians complain they are being cut off from their fields and schools. In Jerusalem, Cordy Walsh, Fox News Radio.
Well, if it seems like the Oscar ceremonies have come out of nowhere, that may have something to do with that writer's strike, not to mention the most intense and contested presidential campaign in memory. But the fact is, the Academy Awards are here.
Just a day before Oscar chooses between pregnant teen Juno.
I'm pregnant.
Who's the father?
It's Pauline Bleeker.
Pauline Bleeker.
And a ruthless oil baron in There Will Be Blood.
There's a whole ocean of oil under our feet. No one can get at it except for me.
No Country for Old Men could continue its winning streak, or will luck turn on a dime?
Just call it Friendo.
An attorney like Michael Clayton might get a honey of a settlement.
You are the senior litigating partner of one of the largest, most respected law firms in the world.
However, a young girl's atonement could influence voters.
You know it was him, or you saw him?
Yes, I saw him. I saw him with my own eyes.
Oscars begin Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time.
That's Fox's Murray Cartel. And I'm Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
I'm Nikki James here at KSCO Studios. I've got your Central Coast forecast for today. We're going to have some rain, lots of rain, and it's going to be most